Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR. Hey everybody, welcome to episode 66 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltaka. Thanks for joining me again today on the podcast. It is action-packed and extremely important. Today on the podcast, I've got Mark Petroni, our friend from Saga 960 in Mississauga, Ontario. Mark was, if you hadn't heard his interview before, but Mark was the commissioner of the CRTC for a number of years, and he has his own show, the Mark Petroni Show, right in the belly of the beast, right outside of Toronto on AM radio. So I'm really happy to have Mark. Mark's a great friend of mine, and he's coming on to talk about a side project that he has and also his frustration with the behavior of the mainstream media in Canada. I will also have critical information from Michael Loberg. Mike is the general counsel for the CCFR, and he's our liaison to our litigation team, and he's going to tell us a little bit more about the court action, the charter challenge that we are launching against the government of Canada. So definitely stay tuned for that. That's important stuff. And you're going to get information from him that I won't be able to explain because I'm not a lawyer and don't have those competencies. So first thing, I want to talk to you real quick about doing a favor for the CCFR and for yourself. So there's a very small group of gun owners that are doing all of this work to make all these things happen. Okay, so there's different ways that you can improve your own situation. So you can support the CCFR and all the things that we do. You know, you can support us for our national education program or anything else that we do, and that's great. And you know what? If you just do one thing and you're just a member of the CCFR, or you shoot us $20 or whatever, you know, you can actually count yourself among the few people that actually care enough about their own ability to own and use firearms, care enough about their own future to actually do at least something. Now, it is tough times out there. You've heard me say before, if you're having tough times, don't send any money to us. Don't do it. You know, you don't need to. But you know what you can do? You can share the links and share stuff. And here's another thing. I'm going to ask you specifically to do one thing. Okay. Well, I guess it's a collection of things, to be fair. Please, whether you're a supporter of the CCFR or not, I made a video announcing our charter challenge and just announcing what our situation is, talking about what our situation is as far as our treatment by the Liberal government. Now, that video went fairly viral in the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 days. Whenever I released it, I think it's 4 days, it's got 150,000 views, somewhere around there. Please share that on your social media. You can find it on the Civil Advantage channel. A lot of you guys are listening to this podcast on the channel. So just go copy the link to that video and email it to your friends and family, post it on your social media. But here's really what I want you to do. Most of all, if you know the executive, you know, the board of directors members at your shooting club, please send it to them and ask them. What you really need to do to stand up for your own rights is please send this video to all our members. So post it on your social media, the club's social media feeds, right? You know, Facebook, Instagram, you know, YouTube, if you have it, whatever, you know, just post it out there as best you can. And then also send a mass email out to all of your members and let them know that we are taking the government to court. We need the community to understand that things are being done and that they can actually support that effort. Now, I'm only going to allude to this, but I had a lot of conversations in the last few days with Mike, and he's coming on the podcast, as you know. And some of those conversations are about doing even more than what we're doing. So that really depends on the level of support that we have. It depends on how many hours that we can work as individuals, right? But we have bigger plans. Now, all the stuff that we do with national education, all the stuff that we do, the Charter Challenge and all the online stuff we do, all these things, we have to step up even more, because I think maybe some people, you know, don't have a grasp of what it is we're actually trying to do. We're trying to fight the government of Canada, and we're trying to fight some percentage, some unimaginable number of Canadians who have bought into the Liberal lies, who actually are contributing to a less safe Canada, because the Liberals are not even laying a finger on violent criminals. They're doing nothing. You know, there's the big case that's floating around right now is you got a guy with 19 firearm charges, 19 active charges. He's walking around in society. They didn't lock him up, yet they want to take you know, my rifles, my firearms, because somehow I'm the threat. It's ludicrous. So these people are actually contributing to a less safe Canada and contributing to incredible division. So anyway, if you can, support the CCFR, and if you can, please ask your club to circulate that video and or forward our newsletters out there to their members. It's really important that we all pull together, because, you know, we can exert some pretty incredible pressure if we all work together, and we all don't have to do a lot of stuff. I've said this before. I know I'm rambling, but it's just really important. If you have a really big number of people, really large number of people doing just a little bit, it's far more powerful than just a handful of people doing everything. Okay. It's less work for everybody. And if we can get mass buy-in, man, we can leverage a lot of pressure. We can bring a lot to bear on the government of Canada. So anyway, please do that. Call your club, send them an email, implore them to share that video and to share our message. Okay. Another thing I wanted to address as quickly as I could is I've been inundated with messages, and I posted on my Facebook like, hey, if you're sending me a message, I appreciate it. I'm not ignoring you. I'm just a normal person. I can't do any more than I'm doing. I've taken on more than I can do. And my only option recently is just to sleep less. And so I just can't do anymore. Also, people are inviting me on their podcasts and on their webcasts and all that stuff. And I haven't responded to you either. And because I only have so many hours in a day. And then the top priority about, you know, of stuff that I do is mainstream media. And we've done more mainstream media in the last week and a half, 2 weeks, I think, than gun owners have gotten, more coverage than gun owners have ever gotten. I think ever. You know, Tracy and I have done something like 60 interviews. Like, it's unbelievable. And I'm very thankful for it. So I have to prioritize that, because that's the area in media that gun owners never get an opportunity on. And it's come from a lot of hard work, right? Like, we've lodged a lot of complaints and done a lot of threatening, you know, and we've done a lot to be able to get those opportunities. It wasn't, you know, we're not sitting here waiting for the phone to ring. So anyway, that's sort of the priority. And then I've got a lot of other stuff, like, you know, dealing with lawsuits and dealing with educational programs and running the CCFR and managing money and figuring out what we're going to do next before we actually have to make those decisions. There's a lot going on. So I really appreciate all the invitations. I just can't do it. Okay. I can't do any more than I'm doing. So I just want you to know, you guys, I'm not ignoring you. I just can't stay awake longer than I am now. The other thing is the Angus Reid poll. You guys have probably seen this getting pushed around. It's like 80% of Canadians, you know, support banning, you know, assault weapons. And just look around for a little bit of information. I don't want to go through all of it right now because I have important stuff to cover in this podcast, and I don't want it to be too long. But the Angus Reid poll completely misdefined what an assault weapon is. Of course, they call people at dinner time, or they robocall them. And it's just like, you know, somebody that doesn't know anything picks up the phone and goes, hey, you know, and they're like, hey, do you want to ban assault weapons? You know, and they're like, well, sure, why not? You know, and they define assault weapon as a weapon capable of rapid fire that carries a large amount of ammunition or something like this. And I mean, polls like that are so misleading. It's just business as usual, total BS, grabbing Canadians that don't know anything about the topic, asking them if they want to ban assault weapons. They don't even know what assault weapons are. They don't know whether assault weapons are playing a significant role in violent crime in Canada. They don't know any of that stuff. So of course they're losing nothing by just saying yes. You know what's really indicative? If you're really interested in wanting to know what the pulse of the nation is, the largest pro-gun control e-petition in Canadian e-petition history was, I think it was the Julie DeBrusen one, or I can't remember, or the Pam Damhoff one. Both of them, you know, came up with these stupid petitions. And they pushed that. The city of Toronto gave them free, transit system gave them free advertising in buses, okay? Signs in buses, on bus benches, you know, on transit everywhere. They advertised, they spent God knows how much, hundreds of thousands of dollars advertising in Cineplex Odeon theaters before movies started, okay? And you know what they got? And it was open for like something stupid, like 4 or 5 months. You know how many signatures they got? And hold on, I could go all day about what they did. Plus, of course, you've got all the doctors pushing it. They were pushing it on television. They were pushing it through print media and the Star and on Globe and Mail, and referred to, like, go sign the petition, go sign the petition. And they went nonstop. for 4 or 5 months. You know how many signatures I got? 20,110, if memory serves me correctly. That's the best they could do. And think about that. That is how motivated Canadians are to take all the effort that it takes to go Google that petition and fill in a few fields and hit submit. And back in those days, I don't even think they had the confirmation email. So any clown could go on the internet, find it and sign it. That's how much effort that it took. And they got 20,000 signatures. Okay. I'm trying to think of the lowest firearm related, like firearm supportive petition out there. I don't think it ever got that low as 20,000, but yet we have the largest e-petition in e-petition history at 175,000 votes, you know, and that's, and can totally ignore it. Apparently Canadians want nothing to do with firearms. Like it couldn't be more ridiculous. So the Angus Reid poll, and Angus Reid is probably as good as it gets. It's not like it's Ecos Research or something like that. Like these guys are, you know, it's probably as honest as it gets. And, you know, I mean, that's what they want to run with. And the reason why it's so misleading is because they never actually want to have a real conversation. It's always like, oh, here's this screwy poll that really doesn't represent anything. But yep, 80% approve of banning these guns. How ridiculous. What a crazy claim. But anyway, next thing, that drives me crazy. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring on Mark Petroni right now, and then I'm going to pick it up and then bring on Mike. Okay. So let's switch over and get Mark on the phone. All right. On the phone, I've got Mark Petroni from, from Saga 960, correct, Mark?
That's correct, Rod. Great to be on your show, and great to reach out to your members. I'm with the Saga 960. I have a show, the Mark Petroni radio program, which airs from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern time. And you can listen to us. You can stream us live on saga960.ca.
Right. And so the first thing, you know, if people haven't heard you on the podcast before or heard me on your show, I have to just voice my appreciation to you, Mark, for providing a platform for gun owners, because you know, so little of that opportunity ever presents itself in Canada in the mainstream media. And you've been so generous with your platform to give us a voice. I just have to tell you how much I appreciate it.
Well, it's a pleasure, because as far as I'm concerned, law-abiding Canadians deserve to be treated a lot better than they are being treated. And firearms owners are in that category of people that every time the government seems to want to pick on somebody, you're the first one they go after, at least this particular government. It irritates me. It angers me sometimes. And so I'm happy to take up the mantle on behalf of what you do. I myself am not a firearms owner. I've thought about it, and I would still like the freedom of doing that one day. I don't want that to change, Rod. I mean, one of these days, should I decide to get a firearms license, I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to, you know, maybe enjoy a firearm at some point in the future. Just because I've never done it before doesn't mean that I never will in the future. And so this is something that I would like to continue. This is a long-standing, proud tradition. And so anything I can do to help your organization out, I'm happy to do it.
Well, I really appreciate that. I wonder if that's my phone or yours. It's probably my phone, because it's been going all day long actually since last Friday. But anyway... One of the things I wanted to bring you on to talk about real quick today was you're starting a new online media outlet, newstalkcanada.com. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, it's called newstalkcanada.com, just like you said. Basically, it's our way to start something online. There's always been Canadians who maybe have a conservative take on the world, don't feel they're getting a fair shake on the media. Now, I come from a background of mainstream media. I worked with CTV for many years, worked with Canadian Press for little bits of time. I was with Sun News, which some might say, well, wasn't really mainstream media, but it was a joy working with Sun News for a couple of years that I was there, based in Calgary. I was also, for 5 years, a commissioner for the CRTC. So I have a fair amount of media experience as a journalist. And so I wanted an opportunity. I do work in the mainstream media. I mean, really, AM radio doesn't get any more legacy media than that. But I've started this other a side company. It's called newstockcanada.com. I'm working with Spencer Fernando, which many of your members, I believe, are familiar with his strong work online. And so the two of us started this thing. It does have a paywall. It's $2 per month. What you're getting access to is podcasts, including a podcast with you and I every week, once a week, The Firearms File. And so we're going to get an opportunity. It's one of those pieces of content that people are going to be able to access that doesn't demonize firearms owners. I can't stress that enough. I don't do that on my show, my AM show. I'm certainly not going to do it on this podcast. So I guess what I would say to you and your members, if you're in that category of Canadians, I would dare say hundreds of thousands, millions of people who think that conservatives do not get a fair shake on mainstream media, this is one of those ways to show it. You know, support what we do on newstalkcanada.com. And I promise that we're going to be working very, very hard to get newsmakers on there, as well as others who we're going to defend you. We're going to hear out, you know, give you a fair shake in terms of all the arguments that you've made in the past. And so thank you for allowing me to make that case to your listeners, Rod.
Well, it's my pleasure. So we're going to be doing sort of a mini show together once a week as best we can. And you're going to be bringing on other personalities and other shows. And I guess this is supposed to be really like conservative radio that you can listen to anywhere.
Exactly. It'll be a podcast type of scenario. But we're also going to have, eventually, we don't have it quite ready yet, but a loop. So you'll be able to, anytime you're on there, you'll be able to listen to it just like radio. At some point in the future, hopefully we'll be able to move on to a live situation, actually do it live. I love live radio. I do live radio. I mean, I've always enjoyed live broadcasting. We're not quite there yet, but podcasts are pretty good. As you well know, you do them yourselves. You reach thousands and thousands of people, Rod, and good on you for doing it. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to be carrying on that tradition. Podcasts are very popular, and I promise there's going to be plenty of interesting people on that. On a regular basis.
That's awesome. Well, you know what? I'd like to talk about it a lot more, but as you're well aware, we've got some huge things going on in the CCFR right now. And I've got some other people I need to bring on, but would you be kind enough to come on maybe towards the end of the month and just let us know how it's going? And we can also talk about some other issues too.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll come on anytime you want. You want to talk about your constitutional challenge, which is huge news. Good for you for doing it. This is fantastic. It's great news. And the one thing I would leave you with is this is not a fight just for firearms owners. I know some of them might feel beleaguered and think, you know, where's the rest of Canadian society to support us? You know, where are all those people out there call themselves conservatives, support conservative causes, and yet when it comes to firearm rights, they're oddly silent, Rod, and I don't understand that. Those are the people I just want to shake every now and again. Grab them by the lapel and say, hey, we got to support these people.
Well, you know, that's just based out of fear. And it's the fear that's generated by, I would say, primarily the Liberal Party moving the window so far left that they think if they just stand up for real democratic process and for us to be all truthful with each other and stuff like that, that is far right to them. So, you know, they think that where they want to be is in the center, when in fact they're way center left. But I think that's where that lies. And I think the reason why there's very few conservatives left in Canada is because, you know, the leftist agenda has worked, right? You know, you're so afraid that somebody will unjustifiably call you a racist or that you're in league with murderers, as they say about firearm owners and stuff. And people think that those words sting too much. And I think we as conservatives, you got to get rid of the fear. You got to stop being scared of these people. They're a paper tiger.
You're absolutely correct. And they're bullies, right? And that's what bullies want to do. They want to steal your lunch money by scaring you, you know, give you a shove and say, you know, hand it over, right? And what I'm saying to your members who already know this, and you as well, and all those other people listening, is you got to push back hard, right? They come after you, you push back. Do not take any crap from these people. You don't have to. You have nothing to be ashamed of. Stand up to them. Stand up to bullies, and guess what? They will cower in fear, because at their core, Rod, and you know this, they are cowards. These people are cowards. And so when you stand up to them, you go nose to nose with these people, I promise you, they'll be the ones to back them.
Well, those are inspiring words, and that's what we're trying to do with the constitutional challenge. We're going to be throwing everything we have at it. So it's going to be a fight for all the way to the Supreme Court if need be. But I really appreciate you coming on, Mark. I'm gonna let you go. And again, I would really appreciate it if you'd come back sometime toward the end of the month and let us know how it's going.
Absolutely, I'll come back anytime. Just let me know, and I look forward to having you to interview on the firearms file on newstalkcanada.com. Thank you so much, Rod.
Hey, everybody, this is Rod from the CCFR. In 4.5 years, we've created the most sophisticated and influential firearm rights organization in Canadian history. And when I say we, I mean our team and all of you who have trusted and supported us financially and as volunteers. Together, we've produced television shows, made our presence very well known on Parliament Hill, and taken on the anti-gun establishment as never before. We are in unprecedented times in Canada and around the world. Our goal is to continue to develop the CCFR into an even more formidable organization to better fight for your right to own and use firearms when stability returns. If you can afford it, please continue to support the CCFR by keeping your membership current and/or donating. If you are unemployed, do not do these things. We are an organization with values, and family comes first. If you're in this situation and you still want to support the CCFR, do it by sharing our explainer videos, the podcast, our reports, or our TV show, which is now available for free online on the CCFR YouTube channel. We can come out of this stronger than ever. Look after yourself, your family, and your community. And thank you for supporting the CCFR in any way that works for you. All right, that was Mark. I'm so thankful to have Mark out there and to have him on our side. I really appreciate all the stuff that he does. But anyway, if you can listen to his podcast, The Mark Petroni Show, you can find that on all the podcast apps. You can check out newstalkcanada.com. That's great. And or if you're in the area, well, you actually can listen online. So check him out on Saga 960 or listen to him if you're in the Toronto / Mississauga area. You can listen to him live. So anyway, really appreciate him. Another thing I want to talk about real quick is the everybody running all over the place about the stuff that the Liberals put in the OIC, the Order in Council. And I guess what I'm talking about is the Blackwater BW-15 being an airsoft rifle and Black Rifle Company being a coffee company and all that stuff. You know, the truth of the matter is that Blackwater BW-15 is a real rifle. The airsoft rifle was licensed to use the same name. Black Rifle Company is a real Black Rifle Company. My understanding is the AR-15.com is a real lower that was available, stuff like that. And, you know, gun owners are beating up on each other for running out there and talking about it. And hey, I talked about it too. But, you know, I just want to say this. It's okay to be wrong once in a while, right? You know what's not okay? It's to be wrong and then dig your heels in and just be like, well, I can't be wrong, so I'm going to push the wrong information. That's not good to do. So it's totally acceptable to be wrong. That's okay, but you got to accept it when you're wrong. Just go, yeah, you know what? Those are real things. But you know what? We had a lot of fun with it while it lasted, and that's it. So, you know, that's just part of being a human being. So don't beat up on your fellow gun owners for being wrong on that. And if you're somebody that was wrong, don't dig your heels in. That stuff's out there. The other thing is the shotgun thing. So the shotgun thing has gone back and forth, and I've seen a lot of people in a rush to judgment, rushed to either be, you know, on the side that it's true that shotguns are banned because of I guess it really depends on where you're measuring the bore, whether it's at the end of the forcing cone, which is very close to the chamber, or it's at the muzzle, whether it's with the choke screwed out, if you have removable choke or not, all that stuff. Just let that stuff play out, because there's been some really reliable opinions saying that that would be caught in the OIC. You have Bill Blair acting like he acts probably less responsibly than somebody that barely knows this topic as a gun owner running, you know, spraying his opinion all over social media without really looking through it. So he came out as like, oh, of course they're not. He doesn't know. He doesn't have a clue. He doesn't even know how you store a restricted firearm, man. If you guys remember the meeting that I had with him, and when he gets found out that he doesn't know what he's talking about, he starts telling you that you're some kind of dangerous racist or propagandist or you're going to take up arms against the government. The guy's nuts. He's nuts. Anyway, so the shotgun question will be answered, I think, in time. Just give it a little bit of time. When it comes to the 10,000 joules of muzzle energy, any firearm capable of that shall be banned. Now, when people are saying that that doesn't ban hunting rifles, you bet it does. Okay, so there's a bunch. There's a Weatherby 460 Magnum. There's the Blassen or Blassen R8 500 Jefferies. There's anything 408 Shaytac. There's all kinds of hunting or precision rifles that will be banned because of that 10,000 joules. And it could actually be worse because there's some talk about whether, like the regulation, right? The OIC says capable of. Well, you can load your own ammunition and make it capable of all kinds of muzzle energies, depending on the firearm that you're doing that with. So that could be a lot more far reaching than anybody thinks. And, you know, one thing for sure, the law is the law. It doesn't matter what Blair says. He doesn't even know what he's talking about half the time. Half the time, he doesn't even know where he is my position on him, or whose side he's on. I don't even think he even knows. He's just told to say things and he goes up there and says them. Hate to beat up on Bill Blair and take too much time doing that, but it's worth every second to me, that's for sure. So we're going to have to, again, just wait and see. There are people working on that, and we'll find out, you know, how far-reaching that is and how far-reaching the government intended that to be. All right, so here's the deal. There's so much more to talk about, but I got to get to Mike, and I'm going to make this podcast as short as possible. I will tell you this. I was going to have Barry Holland, the author of No More Mr. Nice Guy, I was going to have his second interview in this podcast. I just couldn't do it. There's just not enough time. So I will have that in the next podcast. I bumped him twice. But yeah, it's just, there's so much important stuff going on, and don't miss it when it does show up, because it's an excellent interview. And if you want to find out all the other stuff that I'm not telling you, make sure that you subscribe to our newsletter. So if you go to firearmrights.ca, there's a pop-up there. We're going to leave that pop-up there for another couple months, so that you can just simply go there and get, and sign up for the newsletter and get all that information right into your inbox. Check your spam, check your junk mail. We're getting kind of messed around a little bit, I think, by some services. They're trying to cover up our email for some reason, or always push it to junk. It goes into my junk email, man. So anyway, subscribe for that newsletter, and you won't get more than one newsletter a week unless it's an emergency. All right, I'm going to bring on Mike right now. All right, on the phone, I've got Michael Loberg, our general counsel. How's it going, Mike?
Very good, Rod. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm okay. It's been a little bit busy. I know that you've got a lot of work to do, and I've got work to do too, so let's just get at it. So you previously told me that there's only so much you can say publicly about this, obviously, yet and before it's filed, so I get that. But what can you share in general about what we're doing, the actual, not the arguments, but what portions of the law we're going after primarily?
Sure, absolutely, Rod. Well, as a starting point, obviously it's been a very challenging year for Canada generally, and of course now for Canadian firearm owners specifically. This unprecedented sweeping firearm ban brought in on May 1 by the Liberal government constitutes an astounding overreach of legislative authority, and I think most would agree that it completely disregards the property interests of law-abiding Canadians. So the entirety of the CCFR team has been working diligently around the clock since this thing happened. As you announced yesterday, in conjunction with our educational program, lobbying efforts, promotion of sport shooting, it's now been necessary to add litigation to the repertoire of CCFR activities. Now, you touched on an important thing there. One thing that lawyers generally don't do is disclose the particulars of our strategy publicly. And instead, we let the public see our filings and our evidence. Now, as this case moves forward, our members can count on receiving significant updates and information. But for now, I can tell you that, as you announced yesterday, of course, we retained one of the premier litigation firms in Canada to assist us in what is really going to be a very significant court case regarding, among other things, the scope of government and its ability to impair our basic liberties and the liberties of law-abiding Canadians in a manner that we say is both improper and without justification. Now, you asked about the process. So, as to the process, we're presently preparing our initiating court filings, so our claim goes in. We're lining up our expert witnesses and our lay witnesses for facts and other matters. We are doing our legal research to ensure that we have touched on each and every one of the areas that we can argue. And of course, because of the very, very significant interests of Canadians in this matter, we're working very hard to make sure that we get it right.
Other than whatever we release in our press release there, as far as we're challenging under Section 6, is it?
Section 7?
Section 7, there, yeah.
Well, I mean, we've got a long list of things where we're looking at, Rod. And again, I don't want to give away too much, but we're looking at Section 7, Section 15, Section 35 of the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. The government is going to be carrying a burden under Section 1 of the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. There's also issues of exceeding authority and delegating authority, administrative law aspects of this, as well as, frankly, procedural unfairness. So, you know, that's a high-level view of some of the things that we're arguing, as well as a myriad of other things. But again, I don't want to get too far into the weeds on this at this time.
Right. Okay. I was going to say all that, but I thought it would sound more professional coming from you.
Thanks, Rod.
You know, I can't even remember what I did yesterday. My brain is so fried right now. I think we're all a little bit overworked. But you know, one question that people have been asking is everybody wants to know what our chances are. You know, they want to know that we have a chance and that we're not just picking a fight for, you know, just for the sake of picking it. And I would never do that anyway, because it's a colossal waste of money and you just end up losing. I mean, I know you can't tell us everything and there's no guarantees, but what can you tell us about our chances? Like, do we have an argument?
Well, we not only have an argument, we've got several arguments, and a lot of them are good ones. Now, you hit it right on the head that there's no guarantee in any of these matters. There's a myriad of factors that can influence the outcome of a litigation. There's never any certainty in it. Our arguments are good. They're not frivolous. They're not spurious. They're perfectly good arguments. But are we going to win them? Well, I mean, that's really for the judge to decide. When you get into a case and you're standing in front of a judge and you're arguing it, there's a litigation risk, which is the likelihood or potentiality of an adverse decision as a result of judicial error, which is incapable of being repaired on appeal, for example. There's the influence that the draw of the judge that you get will have, because everyone has their own inclinations, judges as well. And then there's really one basic truth, and this is about evidence, and it's important for everybody to know this. We know what our evidence is, and we know what our case is. We haven't seen what the government's case is. They're going to have evidence of their own. For example, on the Section 7 matter, we're going to try to prove to a court that they violated our freedom, our liberty, in a manner that violates Section 7. If we're successful at that, the burden then shifts to the government under Section 1 of the Charter to prove that that violation was justified in a free and democratic society. And clearly they're going to show up with some evidence. Now, I really look forward to seeing that evidence. I'm really looking forward to having them answer that challenge, because I don't think there's a justifiable explanation for what they've done. Now, Section 7 isn't our strongest argument, but it has the benefit of being about freedom in what is supposed to be a democratic society, so we're absolutely running that argument.
Okay. Now, a case like this, one of the other primary reasons to do it, not just to kind of set back what the liberals were doing to us in the first place, but a case like this can be precedent-setting and obviously influence the way that laws or regulations are made. So does it make a difference if this ends up being decided in provincial court or federal court or the Supreme Court, or does it, no matter what, where this is decided, does it still have that same influence on regulations and law?
Well, both the provincial systems and the federal systems have trial courts and then a court of appeal. And both of those channels end up in the Supreme Court of Canada. I'm confident that this case is going to end up in the Supreme Court of Canada, given the nature of what we're arguing about. Now, these types of decisions are very influential. At the Supreme Court of Canada, it binds the whole nation. At the lower courts, at the trial courts, it would be influential across the country, binding in the jurisdiction that issued it. But, of course, decisions of this nature, they go up to the Supreme Court, where proclamations is made as to what is going to be the law of Canada. Now, I want to take your listeners to a very high-level perspective for just a moment. In a very real way, this case is about the limits of the power of the government to take away our liberty, our property, and our freedom. And that's a massive amount of power given to the government. And this case is about the justification that the government needs, if any, which is a dangerous thing, in exercising that power. Now, I can tell you that if there are no limits in the exercise of that power, Canada really has become a form of dictatorship under an oligarchy of elected officials with really no checks on their power. I don't believe Canada is like that. I don't think our members, I don't think Canadians think that Canada is like that, and I really don't think Canadians are going to let Canada become like that. But that's what we're arguing about. Fundamentally, what can the government do to the people, and what justification does it require in order to do it? And that's very important.
Yeah, it is. It is. So I guess the meat and potatoes is, how long before, I know this is, again, it's not a perfect question with a perfect answer, but how long roughly before we can file, and like, how long will that take?
Well, the CCFR has dropped everything. My office has cleared his decks, and we're all working on it. We've got our counsel, our external counsel, working on this. Now, it's hard to make a promise because you need to develop everything before you launch. But that said, because of the critical nature of this and the fact that Canadian firearms owners are actually being oppressed by the law as it applies right now, we are treating this with the utmost urgency. We're hoping to have something filed within a week.
Oh, wow. I didn't think it was actually going to be that fast. I thought it was going to be 2-3 weeks. I think I might have even said that.
Well, like I said, we've dropped everything, cleared the decks. I mean, this is critical. This is Canadian liberty at stake, so we're doing it as fast as we can.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, I know you got a lot to do, so I'll let you go, and I got to move on to something else as well. But I appreciate that, Mike, and maybe we can get you in for an update in a few weeks, or we can actually get our representative from JSS to come on the podcast and speak. I haven't asked her, so this is completely off the cuff. But
I'm sure they'd be delighted to do that, Rod.
Awesome. Well, thanks for the update, and we will, we'll hear from you later.
Great, Rod. Thanks for having me.
All right, everybody. That's going to do it for episode 66 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Thanks to Michael Loberg for giving us an update on our legal action. Thanks very much to Mark Petroni for his continued support of law-abiding gun owners in Canada, and him, you know, taking the hits in mainstream media for giving us a voice. I mean, there's always consequences for anyone trying to give gun owners, somebody that would have the audacity to apply for a firearms license in Canada, meet all the requirements, and to own a gun and go to the shooting range or to hunt. God, no wonder there's consequences for people in their careers to mix with people like us, right? So I appreciate... You couldn't even make this stuff up, man. I appreciate Mark Petroni for doing all that stuff for us. And it's just great to have an ally in mainstream media once in a while, right? Not enemies all the time. If you want to support the CCFR, you can. If you can't right now, no problem. Just please share our links. Definitely try to get your shooting club to send out that video I talked about. The CCFR is taking the government to court kind of thing. Have that sent out there, or please ask them to get off the fence if they're on the fence. You know, some clubs are like, well, we don't want to get political. It's like, if there are no AR or handgun owners, you won't have a shooting club anymore, because those are the people that are supporting the clubs more than anybody else, because, you know, you can't have one of these firearms unless you actually are a member of a shooting club. You can't shoot them out in the bush. So anyway, I don't know why clubs would think we don't want to get political. It's political for them whether they like it or not. So anyway, please ask them to share our material and get the word out. Ask them to forward our newsletter too. That would be a really great thing for clubs to do. So anyway, thanks everybody for your support. Take care, and we will see you next time.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.